Representatives, thank you for providing the opportunity for the NGO community to make individual statements. Mr. Chair, the way science is practiced is changing. Broader community groups work in these spaces due to declining costs and more accessible community facilities. The life sciences are becoming more integrated within the cyber domain as laboratories become more internet connected and scientific research more computer dependent. At the same time, we live in an increasingly health-centered global economy, but one in which security is often overlooked and one in which forecasting biological misuse remains a challenge. The scale of identified and predicted biological misuse is unknown and is expected to be more sophisticated in the future. Yet the discussion of security implications is often limited to siloed expertise from traditional professions, and there has been limited engagement with diverse communities. For a successful Ninth Review Conference next year and the subsequent intersessional process, we must act now to strengthen the BWC. There are two areas in particular that, as part of the NGO community, I have endorsed and that I would like to expand on with this statement. The first is the need for BWC state parties to ensure that they have communication channels open to the non-institutionalized amateur community that is critical to building a culture of safe, secure, and responsible research. While there have been a lot of efforts towards engaging youth, young scientists, and students through organizations such as iGEM, hidden populations remain unengaged. It is important to define scientific communities here to include non-traditional groups such as citizen scientists or community laboratories. These non-traditional experts have technical experience in either innovating, developing, or using biotechnologies who may or may not have professional or academic qualifications and who practice science outside the traditional institutional premise. Considering approaches taken in different countries, there's currently no clear communication channel, reporting system, or engagement pathway with non-traditional experts in, say, the United Kingdom. This contrasts with a model adopted in the United States, where the FBI engages directly with and sponsors community laboratories and their activities. The inclusion of non-traditional experts in the iterative process of identifying and mitigating vulnerabilities may contribute to the prevention of biological misuse and is worth pursuing in the countries outside of the United States and internationally. Following this, the second point I would like to expand on is that the convention needs a mechanism to systematically monitor and review developments in science and technology. As a joint NGO statement noted, a hybrid process takes full advantage of the benefits that the limited participation and open models have to offer. The views expressed by expert groups or forecasting exercises will only inform future biosecurity and public health policy for a limited time horizon because things are changing at such pace. There's a need for a complementary experimental framework that is coupled with practical suggestions. I wish to suggest the possibility of a continuous course of inquiry. For this, I encourage state parties to consider implementing a red teaming mechanism that consists of an event that brings domain experts of both traditional and non-traditional professions, as noted previously, to collaborate intensively. Red teaming is an experimental approach of testing a target system and the extent of its security to report any found weakness with the aim to develop instruction for its remedy. This event can be held multiple times in a year and can focus on various emerging issues in biotechnology. Invited experts are at the forefront of their field and can share prospects and challenges of the technology under investigation. The experts form cross-pollinated groups, mixing traditional and non-traditional technical expertise and backgrounds. In the first part, the experts challenge assumptions, crowdsource ideas, and collective intelligence of the biotechnology or area of interest through scenario building exercises. In the second part, experts are asked to identify possible future exploits of the biotechnology or area assessed, while also generating ideas to prevent misuses of it. And in doing so, the mechanism captures current and nuanced opinions of diverse field experts while also generating detailed prototyping proposals. A scientific advisory board can review the experts' proposals to deliver a relevant policy briefing. The United States, for example, has argued that a mechanism should start, quote, produce useful products written in plain language, end quote. I encourage state parties to distill technical discussion into accessible, policy-friendly materials, as we have piloted with our policy briefing regarding synthetic biology and future crime. Mr. Chair, biological misuse at the intersection of the cyber and life science domains and its classification will have to be considered carefully, as it may currently be underreported and its forms unknown or even undetectable. Biotechnology is not constrained to borders and will be exploited regardless of country. In common with this, the inherent and ongoing challenge of unlocalized threats within cyberspace persists, both in terms of identifying the origin of the attack and the attacker's non-geographic cyber identity. Similar issues may increasingly emerge for biological threats, and consideration should be given to how to deal with such issues. A red teaming mechanism aims to proactively identify early warnings and integrate elicited opinions from diverse field experts. This or a similar mechanism can be used to aid national and international security decision-making for risks on emerging technology, including biotechnology, and has been recognized and published by the UK's National Security Machinery First Report. Mr. Chair, I thank you for your attention.